My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites. Not the time for saving.
Wolfpack is back, cause I'm mass destruction.
Unfortunately, tonight we have to start with some bad news. Our fellow pup, Dalton, has been captured and compromised by Nintendo. He's fighting his way out, but he's going to be gone for a little bit. So we wish him the best in escaping from Nintendo. Stay strong, buddy. You'll get out of that jail.
At least it's not like Sega jail or like the Sega dungeon.
What's worse, the Sega dungeon or Nintendo jail?
Well, I mean, Sega Dungeon, you're not coming out for like another 30 years like Virtua Fighter.
It's fair, it could be worse.
Nintendo, at least, I think you have a fighting chance.
Don't worry, none of us are John Cena, so when we say caught, compromised to a permanent end, that's not true.
No, he just needs to take a little break from the podcast, take care of some stuff, you know. He has a lot of more responsibilities now, so he needs to focus on those, and when he's ready, he'll be back.
Yeah.
On the flip side, I'm the fucking baddest bitch in Cleveland now. Can we just, like, talk about that for a second?
What happened?
Absolutely.
You're talking about your show?
How about how I DJ'd? I don't know if it's the biggest lesbian-led dance party in Cleveland, but I'm going to say it is. It's at least the biggest consistent one.
That's
yeah.
Probably fair. I think so.
I DJ'd that this past Saturday night, Sapphic night. It was a very gay night. Thankfully, I went on. I didn't have to go on at the beginning, but I still went on early enough to enjoy the rest of the night.
Oh, that's cool. That's always good. But what were you like? Were you like second or third or something?
So I was second. I went from 10 to 11.
Oh wow! Damn, we give you hour sets. That's crazy.
Give or take. Like there was like you know, start a little late. Next person goes out of comments, like, you know, just the way of, like, production works.
Yeah.
But no, it was super sick. I got to play, like, so much hyperpop. Like, there's not a lot of that in the Cleveland area. It's a very non-hyperpop town. It's...
But what do you think is the demographic more over there? What do you think they listen to more in terms of electronic music?
When I say, like, in Cleveland, I mean as far as, like, people making hyperpop and stuff. Because there's, I can't really think of many acts. Like, I have a couple that I think maybe, but I can't confirm. Like, it's definitely Ohio-ish area just based on references made. But, like, people are super into it. Also, just throwing in a couple, like, video game and anime remixes help.
Nice.
I like it helps. I pick the gay ones. I pick JoJo and Persona, so, like, and Sonic! I had a Sonic remix! I had a Sonic R remix!
Has Sonic been co-opted by the gay community now?
It's always been, baby.
Always? Okay.
What do you think Tails is? Oh, no, it was super fun! I had a fun time there, too.
You did! You got to, you know... This is, what, your second one now?
Yeah, I think it's my second one. Yeah. And I think this is the first one I stayed the whole time for?
Yeah,
nice.
We shut it down.
It's been a while since I've shut something down.
Also, fun cameos. Ed showed up. Hey, Ed. As promised, I played them a Twice song. Which, okay, so I have my phone out just to like keep track of like time. Because, you know, you wanna keep those sets tight. I look down and I just see in all caps from Ed, TWICE!
TWICE! Again!
I got very excited. I got to have a stripper giving lap dances on stage while I was DJing, so that was a fun.
Very cool.
Made me feel even more badass. And then my biggest takeaway from all of this is that yes, I do indeed love to have my ego stroke, so everyone just always make sure telling me how awesome I am. I've accepted it now. I used to be shy and modest, but it's no more. Sorry.
Where are you now?
I think so.
Who are you?
You forgot to drop one of the coolest parts about it. And you were DJing Sapphic Night on Saturday. The 16th of March. What day is that?
Why, that would be the day of... Well, it's 316.
316!
I mean, there's one precise thing associated with it. It's off day from pie, JK. It's Stone Cold Day.
It's beer day. AJ's day.
I got me a couple of Stone Cold IPAs throughout the night, so that was fun. But also, Marcy, what did you do?
Are you talking about doing my set, or what else did I do? Because that's a loaded question.
I think I'm talking about in terms of the set and how it relates to 316 Day.
I mean, I didn't play a Stone Cold thing. I forgot a glass-breaking sample for my board. I'm a little pissed about that. But to keep it wrestling adjacent, I did play Swerve Song. And shout out to our friend Sabrina for coming out and doing the Prince Nana dance on stage.
I was doing it casually out in the crowd there, but Sabrina went for it.
We talked about this for months. Honestly, if she didn't say she was going to go on stage for it, I don't know if I would have actually did it. But the fact that she's like, yeah, I'm going to do it. Like, okay, I had to. Also, to go back to the stripper thing, I got to see a very cute girl give a lap dance to Mel Forever covering Closer by Nine Inch Nails. And my own twist is I threw in, you know that, Oscar, you're very familiar with Knock Loose, right?
Yes.
You know the sample I have.
No, you didn't.
I kind of threw that in there in that song.
That's hilarious.
It fits so well, too.
That's, I gotta hear this. Do you have the mixes available anywhere?
I'm sorry I'm laughing, but I'm laughing because if I'm not, I would be crying a lot. Because I did. I recorded a mix. And I went into Serato, I go to click save, and click save, and then it disappears, and it doesn't save. And I spent a little bit going through some tutorials, but it's very quick and cut and dry. If it's not in this one folder, it's gone.
Oh, man.
So I will probably record it after this recording, but I'm very salty right now.
Oh, man. That sucks.
Serato, you're on my no-no list right now. I'm still going to pay because I need the pro subscription, but I'm very upset about doing it right now.
I almost don't want to do it, but you're lucky I need to do it.
You're lucky I have a show next month.
At least you're getting booked a lot now, girl. That's pretty sick.
I'm trying to do what I can to get my way out there. It's honestly, a lot of it's just figuring out social media.
Yeah, you really got to promote yourself and shit like that. And a lot of people, like, especially creatives and people that create content, I feel like don't utilize social media enough and really promote themselves. So that's something you really got to get on. Because I know a lot of artists, a lot of musicians and shit like that, that just do not understand that you need to promote on social media. Like, you absolutely need to.
So here's the unfortunate thing with Twitter. I'm like, I'm not quite shadow banned, but I'm kind of shadow banned.
For what?
I don't know.
That's a bad question.
I honestly don't know, because I properly, like, anything I ever had that was, like, ever risque.
Yeah, but risque shouldn't even matter.
It's either tagged or, like, not, like, it's deleted. I either deleted it or just made it, like, a spoiler tag. But also, I feel like it's just because I literally have Femboy in my username.
That's exactly what it is. I'm sorry to tell you, yeah, but that's exactly what it is.
Really?
I'm not giving up the name, but it makes me very upset.
You mean on Elon Musk's Twitter.com, you think that he has a bias towards anyone with Femboy in their username? Come on.
I thought this was, you know, the platform of free speech, but I guess not.
Yeah, right?
Free Ed, by the way. Hey, we're the motherfucking Pup Pack. Ed. What's up? I'm Marcy. You're... I'm leading this pack.
I'm Oscar. I'm the straight one, I guess.
Oscar's our token, but not...
I'm the token, I guess.
But because you're straight.
And I'm Jess. I'm just here.
So I got to gush a lot. Did any of y'all see anything else? Because it's been a few weeks since we recorded. If you can't tell, we really don't want to talk about this movie we're about to review.
Oh, absolutely fucking not. I thought it would be funny to do back-to-back Jean-Claude Van Damme sequels, and I started looking for more before I watched this movie. I don't want to fucking do that anymore. I thought we were going to be able to do Expendables 2, but Stone Cold's not in that one, and I'm fucking pissed.
Oh my god.
Also, that one also is... I feel like that one sucks. From what I remember, it sucks, but it's not like... It's not the way that this movie sucks. Spoiler alert. It's Kickboxer Vengeance.
Was this technically what? The fifth or the sixth installment?
So this is technically the sixth.
Sixth. Okay.
So I knew there were a few Kickboxer movies. I didn't know there were that many. So when you go into Tubi, because this was on Tubi for free, if anyone actually wants to watch this, you don't, though. You don't have to.
You really don't.
Maybe you can just watch a highlight reel of like the fights. But,
those aren't even good.
I went to go search it, and then you see a bunch, because a bunch of them are up there. It seems like they just get wild, because like three seems like there's like this American flag background. It seems like it's a different guy holding a gun, but then you go back to four, and it's just back to Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Gotta go back to basics.
I'm more interested in that arc than this movie. And now I pose a question for you two, because... So I watched this forever ago. I did not rewatch the first movie, but you two both did.
Yes.
Do you feel like watching the first movie affected how you feel about it?
Yes. I don't know about you, Jess.
It very much did.
Because I watched the first movie, and you know what? That movie was actually kind of fun and goofy. And like, I could actually kind of, they actually had character development. Even though it was infantile, they actually tried. Jean-Claude Van Damme actually attempted acting and like crying and shit. And I'm like, I appreciate the effort you're doing here. Because when I watch this one, this is soulless on every level. Like, none of the goofy quirks from the first one translated at all into this. And not only that, like, things just happen. Like, they just happen. And, like, at least in the first one, they tried. Don't get me wrong. The first Kickboxer, at best, is a good B movie. But it's like, at least they tried. This one felt like these people took Xanax and tried making a fighting movie.
This movie is Muay Thai Rocky IV. That's all this movie is.
Yeah.
All this fucking movie is.
Yeah.
And Kickboxer, in and of itself, it's Rocky IV. Spoiler alert, your main character is the brother/brother figure to someone that goes to fight an international champion, dies in the fucking ring, goes back, goes and trains in the environment in which the champion that killed their brother/brotherly figure is. Fights them on their terms, wins over the affection of the international crowd against the adversary because, you know, they just don't got the juice anymore. That's fucking it. That's all this fucking movie is. And what's worse is because it's 2016, they're in the big fucking reboot/sequel.
Yeah, the requel. So, and that's what I also wanted to bring up too. I'm like, this was intended to be a reboot for the entire series. And that's why, but like I said, like Jess said, it's very much a requel where they bring back little tidbits from the old series and other characters and stuff. Like there is a cameo in here that's so egregious where I'm like, wow, if you didn't even watch any of the other Kickboxers, you'd be like, what the fuck is even this and why are they lingering on it so much? And then when you find out what it is, especially since I watched the original Kickboxer right after this, I'm like, that is fucking horrible. And I think this actually went to theaters too, which is even worse because people actually have to pay money to go out and see this if they wanted to see this.
I wonder what the numbers were for.
Yeah, this is a Kickboxer member berries.
I really have to know what the numbers like this movie did in the theaters. I'm so curious.
Somehow this got a sequel.
It did!
Retaliation, yep.
Well, they're with these names, by the way. Fuck! God, they're so bad.
Here's the thing. So, like, I don't know what it is about.
These are NXT specials.
We're bringing it back to the wrestling, see?
You just watch. A lot of these wrestlers are going to start taking stuff from Kickboxer sequels. And they're like, where are you guys getting these names from? Don't worry about it. Just don't ever watch Tubi.
Oh. Oh, my God.
What?
Oh, let me double check. That's not 287,000?
In the box office? I mean, this movie had to have been done cheap, because I think a lot of it was shot in New Orleans. It was absolutely not shot in Thailand or anything like that.
You mean to tell me they weren't fighting on actual elephants?
No, they weren't. Those were actually CGI elephants. The random street Muay Thai ninjas that rode in on elephants to jump them.
Yeah, it's... Wow. Box office, $287,000, $779,000. Yeah. Basically just shy of $288,000.
And how much did they spend on it? Do you have that on there?
$17 million.
Oh my God.
I wonder how much of that was just Jean-Claude Van Damme.
It had to have been Jean. There's
at least
no,
10.
There's no fucking way that any production, like any of that money went to production value in this. Because this was garbage quality. Like, this is some shit that you watch, like, right before, and on Cinemax, right before the softcore porn comes on. Like, this is, it's bad. And it's like...
This was the style at the time for 2016, though, for these, like, reboots.
Was it, though? I don't even really remember. Like,
no, none of them performed this... I can't think of any of them that performed this badly.
Like, I understand completely why. Like, there's literally... They took all the quirkiness and all the goofiness and all the soul from the first one, tried redoing the story, and just... It's just a complete mess. Like, it's fucking horrible. I hate all of these fucking characters. The only one that I actually enjoy... And mildly is probably Jean-Claude Van Damme, and that's just because he's like just goofing around half the time.
Yeah, he's doing his Mr. Miyagi impression.
Yeah, this is just like if Rocky IV and Karate Kid had a baby that should have been aborted, but just never was.
So there was one character I was okay with, but then I became not okay with him, and that was the drunk guy that George St. Pierre played.
Wait, why didn't you become?
Oh, you mean
okay
Discount Stone Cold?
Because the first thing just being a down his luck drunk guy was fine. And then he comes back and it's just like, why is he here?
I forgot about him. I was like, wait a minute.
He just shows up.
Because it's George St. Pierre and they needed to. There was a few MMA fighters, big names that were here. I don't remember the names.
So do we want to I guess we should do this proper.
We want to go like scene by scene.
Yeah, let's
let's do it that way. But yeah. So, I mean, I think for some reason, I decided to take notes on every fucking thing that happened. So we open up sky shots, aerial shots, Thailand going through, and our main character, soon to be named Kurt, gets off the riverboat, goes to a undisclosed location, a dojo, and he says that he wants to come and train to fight Kung Po, or train under Kung Po. Crew Po.
Was he ever actually named? Because I don't remember hearing his name once.
Kurt, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he's...
I only know that because, yeah, the lady cop says it once. Also, her name was never fucking mentioned. I don't think.
I do have her name. It's Lou.
No, it fucking isn't. I never heard that any single time throughout the entire movie.
I mean,
that's what IMDb could be lying to us, but I just had it up just as a backup because, yeah, no, they don't say names at all, like very often, if at all.
They don't, because I don't remember her fucking name at all. I just know her as Cop Lee.
The exceptions are like Dave Bautista's Tong Po. And then, like, Jean-Claude Van Damme as Master Durand. Like, those are literally the only names people consistently say in this movie.
Yeah, that's about right.
So our boy Kurt, also named Durand, it's never brought up that they have the same name.
Nope.
But we'll get to that when we get there. Because, you know, the audience, you're supposed to know that. Spoiler alert, Jean-Claude Van Damme is in this. You're supposed to know, or at least infer, that, hey, he is either Jean-Claude Van Damme from the first movie, or he's an inversion, and he is the mirror side to his character from before. The master, the student has become the master.
Yeah, I feel like when they promoted this, they actually promoted Jean-Claude Van Damme a lot because they wanted to have some kind of selling point to this movie.
Yeah, this isn't fucking Cobra Kai. This is just Jean-Claude Van Damme as the master, because...
the master.
Who better to teach a white dude Muay Thai than a white dude in Thailand? Spoiler alert, we'll get there. Anyways,
I just want to say I'm really enjoying Angry Jess right now.
Yes,
I'm nice. If anything good came out of this movie, it brought it out. This brought it out for you for a podcast.
It unleashed the beast.
Anyways, Discount Jensen Ackles, Kurt, says he's going to pay money to train under Tong Po. And George St. Pierre is like, no, can't, not fucking happening. You don't have any skills. How do I know? And then a fight ensues.
Just a fight. Just a random fight. And the thing that I hate about George St. Pierre's character, I think they were trying to like play off like, oh, he's like a drunken boxer type. But I've seen drunken boxing before, and not once did George St. Pierre is a shit actor. He cannot act for his life.
He's so bad at it.
Like, it's ridiculous.
That's why I like it, because he's so bad at it.
He's so bad at it. And I'm just like, he's not even playing drunk correctly. And I'm just like, how do you fuck that up, dude? Have you never been drunk or trying to fight? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I really did not like his character.
Don't worry. It's only the first shitty drunken master reference of the movie.
Oh, God, that's right. But yeah, I think that's what he was supposed to do. And they were just like, whatever, man. Just do your fucking fighting thing, and we'll edit around you or something.
So yeah, they start going. They get to the main Coliseum combat area where all these dudes are in their Andrew Tate Alpha training camp, just sparring and training with each other. And then they both do a double down. George St. Pierre can't do a kick up, but our hero Kurt can. That's how you know he's the good guy.
That's how you know he's legit. He's just like Shawn Michaels.
Just like Shawn Michaels. A young Shawn Michaels, if you will.
And then this is when, for the first time in apparently kickboxing in this universe, also has grappling.
I was so confused. Like, wait, is this... They're just doing this, like, they're making it an MMA thing now.
Okay, so here's
the... Once again, was the style at the time.
I think they had this kind of issue in the first movie too, where like no one was really a kickboxer, because in the first movie they were training karate. He was a world karate champion, and this one I believe it's the same thing, but then the whole idea is that he's trained for this one thing, and then he goes to fight Muay Thai, and he doesn't know how to defend himself again. And this is supposed to be in the first movie, it was before MMA, before they ever had all these different styles fighting each other. We're in 2016. This is way after like UFC and all that shit really started taking off. No one is just kickboxing here. This is all MMA and Muay Thai mostly. There's zero kickboxing here. There's no reason this movie should exist.
So yeah, you just get your bog standard mat return, and there was a tease of a Boston Crab, and I was like, what the fuck is going on here? Anyways, because George St. Pierre is...
Are you telling me if you weren't in the fight, you wouldn't go for a shoot Boston Crab?
Yeah, I fucking would, but not first.
Not first? That's the backup plan? I'd be like, I got the leg. I'm like, I can't get a leg lock. Boston Crab!
Hey, if I'm in a real fight, not like an MMA fight, I'm going to put some insult to injury. I'm going to fucking lay in a sharpshooter or a single leg Boston Crab at the end.
I think my go-to always going to be, if I'm in a fight, I would always just try to do the Taz mission.
Taz mission.
I don't know why. It just feels like it would be, because it's like in my mind, it's like a choke. So it's like, it should work. Granted, I have no idea what I'm doing, so I probably wouldn't be effective at all, and I would assuredly be overpowered. But you know.
All right. Anyways, we do get another fighter. And this person I only have in my notes as Damian Priest with dreads.
Would you like his name? His name is Storm. Sure. Storm. Played by the actor.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was wondering.
Played by the actor TJ Storm.
Oh, my God. Wow, they really didn't even try with that one. That is horrible. He has a background in breakdancing. I know that.
Wild.
I was kind of mad because when I saw the dreads, like a lot of the times with these fighting movies, if the guy has dreads, they're going to be doing like capoeira shit, like that crazy Eddie Gordo fighting. And I thought that's what I was going to get. And all I just got was, no, he's just really fucking strong and really good at Muay Thai. All
right. Anyways, Kurt gets beat down. And then we cut to Kurt. And does George St. Pierre even have a character name? Because it's not fucking said.
Javi? Javi?
That Javi? That's absolutely
his fucking name is Javi.
No, with a K, K-A-V-I.
You have got to be kidding me. This is fucking dumb. Anyways, George St. Pierre and Kurt are washing laundry because you know they fucking lose, and George St. Pierre is mad because he lost his spot as the doorman because he lost a fucking fight, and then he goes to pickpocket Kurt while he's not watching, and he's like, Kurt's like, I fucking put it back and the money too, you know what, keep the money, you need it more than I do. Fucking dumb. And then
this actor that plays Kurt fucking kills me. He is one of the worst, because you know what it is,
charisma-less. He has no riz.
Rizless. So you're saying that besides the fact that he can't act, he's rizless. Thank you, Marcy.
Confirmed.
Which, by the way, it's very true, because you wonder how he for some reason, I mean, we'll get to it, I guess, but he does.
They brought him back for a sequel, by the way. That just like processed to me, because he said there's a sequel. They like
there is, and he comes back too. And the thing that kills me is that a lot of these people, a lot of these actors are all stuntmen. They're not actual like actors. This guy is mostly just, he was like Henry Cavill's stunt double. Like that's like one of his biggest claims to fame.
It shows, because he's right. Like no.
He can't act. He can fight.
Yeah.
They saw that Michael Jai White had success and they're like, hey, well, I'll fucking do that. No, you're not. You're not fucking Black Dynamite. We should watch that fucking, actually, we probably shouldn't do that movie. We're not the people to do that movie.
Yeah, I think that was not for us.
I'll do it.
No. It'll be a strong recommend from the pup pack.
It's just going to be Oscar out in the street reviewing.
That is a... Oh, okay.
But yeah, so yeah, he gets kicked off. They do their thing. Eventually, we just go back. It's nighttime now.
Late night initiation.
And they're like, oh yeah, we're going to have some fights. Oh, wait, no, because I forget. Does he come out first, or do they do the fights first?
So, we get to talk about my favorite character. We get to talk about my favorite character, WWE commentator / ring announcer, because that's all this guy does. He does Michael Cole-esque monologues throughout this entire movie, ahead of every match. That is all he does.
The hype man.
Thinking about it, like we'll get to one, but yeah.
He literally does the entire time. Even when they're not, then there's no fights going on, he's just talking. That's just how he talks.
So yeah, he does a late night hype speech, and then he says, check it out, Tong Po. Dave Bautista comes out with, is that dreads? I don't think that's dreads, but it's sort of like a braid. I would go as far to say braid. I don't think it would say a
he's bun. He's got some kind of bun thing going on top.
Big dick Dave Bautista, like.
Wait, what?
And then,
do you not know about that, Oscar?
No, I don't need to know. I'm just.
He is like, a certified huge cock.
Oh my god.
Or so we've heard. No one's willing to confirm it.
No one is willing to confirm.
I mean, So Big Dick Batista goes up to this
it's pillar, like a pillar, yeah.
This plinth, this butt plug that's in the center of it. It's got a flare to it. And it's in the shape of a pyramid, and it's a very narrow one. And so
narrow.
The note is, so as our WWE Michael Cole commentator starts talking about how Muay Thai is connecting in with the energy of the universe, the particles, Tong Po has a mastery of all that. And so Dave Batista breaks the rock butt plug.
That's how you know he has a big dick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he didn't fuck it to death. He just hit it a couple times.
I mean, that's basically the Muay Thai equivalent of fucking it to death.
The Muay Thai equivalent of fucking it to death.
To be fair, he's giving it like knee shots, so he's basically like throwing his dick into it.
And that I don't think that's how knee shots work. Does it reach his knee? Is that what's happening here? Is his knee padded by his dick?
He does a couple of like clubbing blows to the side and the knee kicks. But essentially, yeah, that's what happens, and then your pillar clump tumbles. Now, this is where my first issue of, hey, this movie fucking sucks compared to the original. Mm. Because in the original, a similar scene comes out with how we're introduced to Tong Po.
Oh, yes. It was awesome.
Yeah. So, Marcy, this is for you and the audience, and also Butter, so I can prove that I watched the movie. So in the first movie, and I'll get to the fucking structure of this movie and how much it pisses me off in a second, but you've got Jean-Claude Van Damme and his brother going over to Thailand. His brother's going to fight, you know, in the same way that Apollo Creed is going to fight Ivan Drago and Rocky's in the corner, that sort of deal. Anyways, Jean-Claude Van Damme goes to get ice, just hears a weird rhythmic thumping as he's going to get ice. And then he drifts over to what is Tong Po's locker room, and he is just continuously leg-kicking a stone pillar that is shaking the foundation of that room, and it's echoing throughout the hallway. That's how you introduce, you know, a kick-ass. In this movie, you know, just collapse this butt plug. Then he sits on a throne.
Muay Thai fucks a butt plug to collapse. That is what he did as an intro here, as opposed to all the mystique and all of the buildup that you get to the last Tong Po. And this one, he just kind of comes out. Hey, I have tattoos and I look badass. Let me break this thing. All right, now you guys have to kind of accept I'm a badass. Let's keep going.
Yeah, and then our Michael Cole announcer says, "Can I get an amen?" And the whole crowd gives an amen, so we also know that this is a fundamentalist Andrew Tate Alpha camp. Evidence number two. Trust me, there's more. Anyone crazy enough to take on Dave Batista? No one says anything. So we get to the undercard. The undercard of this Fight Club Alpha reference number three. And so, you know, a couple of fights happen, and then they bring out the double swords, and one dude gets slashed. And that is when Dave Batista walks away, and that's when you know the fighting is done for the day, because the Alpha is no longer around. Anyways, Alpha training camp, evidence number four. So you know that this place is hardcore.
Wow, they're stacking up really fast.
I love how, like, it literally someone dies, and Dave Batista's like, nope, it's over now. And then he just, like, you know what, I'm turned on. Because he goes to the back, and immediately two girls get undressed and go with him to bed.
There's a butt.
I love that. Thank you, Marcy. There's a butt.
It's a highlight of the movie.
And, I mean, it's a butt.
Look, it's we'll get to it, but it's way better than the fucking... Oh, no, I'm getting ahead of myself. I was so apathetic to the point of this movie that I just kind of, like, I got angry about stuff that I would normally be all about.
So, we cut to late night. Everyone's in their cots. They're all sleeping together, all forced to sleep flat back. You know, I'm not going to put that in their Alpha Camp evidence. But I will say is that they cut to the full moon, and the way that the compound is lit through the sort of like air holes, it looked like they were projecting a full moon onto the roof of that cot they were sleeping in, like a nightlight. And so that's probably not what happened. It was just the moon. But I'm just going to say that's Alpha Camp evidence number 5. Because
moon nightlight
got a train to be the alpha under the full moon. Yes. And so Kurt goes to Dave Bautista's quarters with the strap.
I love how no one checked this guy's bags or whatever into this weird Fight Club situation they have going on here. It really is a Tyler Durden-esque kind of setup they have going on.
Well, as it turns out, Dave Bautista is actually the top, and so flips the tables on it, kicks Kurt, switches Kurt, and gives him a good pump kick to the chest, and then we cut to a flashback.
That's so
which,
like,
if you watch the first Kickboxer, it's the first third of the movie, essentially.
Terrible directing.
So I'm gonna
terrible fucking directing.
Okay, so in the original movie, they started with the flashback, right?
Yeah, no, there's no flashback in the first movie. It just goes in progression of how it happens.
Oh, it's all linear.
That makes way more sense. Why not just do it that way? I was so, like, I was trying to figure out, like, motivations and stuff, like, in the first, like, 15 minutes. I had no fucking idea.
Because you know what it is? They were trying to do something different because they're regurgitating the same story, but
they're like, not.
We have to try and switch it up somehow, so let's do that weird artsy movie thing where we start at the middle of the movie and then explain everything in a flashback and then lead back into what we're doing.
But it sounds like they're still going everything beat for beat. They literally just switched the order of said beats. And that's just
exactly.
That's really
it's lazy
dumb.
Writing.
It's
that's
dumb.
All it is. It's just lazy writing.
I hate it.
All right, this has been going on too long, so I'm going to actually fast forward super hard through this first third. So everybody strap in. Tell me when you want to do a hop in with a bit. I've got one. Anyways, so we go to the flashback. We go to the flashback, and we've got Eric training, who is Kurt's brother, and he is the champion, and Eric is his trainer. And then this is when we get turf jump scare number one. Gina Carano, go fuck yourself.
And it's so weird because, like, so they had subtitles for it, thankfully, because when she was talking, it was just like farts coming out.
Mm-hmm. It's like when you hear the Peanuts, like, parents talking to, like, the kids. Wah, 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 wah. But, enlighten me a little bit. So, what did she do?
Essentially, what she did was, she's a fight promoter. So, she just came in and was like, hey, 200K to go to Thailand, 200K when you get there. Obviously, you know, buttering him up to feed him to Tong Po. Spoiler alert, that's what's happening.
Stupid premise. Okay.
So, yeah. In the original one, it was just, hey, the ego of Eric is like, yeah, I will go to Thailand. I will prove that just because I am American and I've got this belt, that I will be the best Muay Thai fighter. That's it. And in this movie, they take that underlying thing, but also add a bunch of money on top. So that's how you know that it's different.
Did they ever say exactly where they're from in America? Because I couldn't pinpoint it between Kurt having his own accent and then his brother trying to repress his Boston accent as best as he could.
My assumption was this was either Boston or Philly.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking probably Philly, but I'm just like, this is, I don't know where you guys are from. I get it. You're trying to just portray generic American, but, like, it's really confusing me how, like, you guys sound different. At least in the first Kickboxer, when they introduce themselves, they're like, oh, Jean-Claude Van Damme was raised in Europe while his brother was raised in America.
Yeah, he's from
Belgium.
That
makes sense to me.
And then after that, there's just, like, the first of so many training montages, but it's not with Eric.
Half of this movie is a fucking training montage.
for whatever reason, if you come back to, you know, baby brother, it's kind of like, I'm going to train even though I disagree with my brother. I'm just going to train just because.
Yeah, so, yeah. So, essentially what happens is he gets an airmail that, hey, brother's got a fight in a week. And he gets two tickets through Trans Air to go to Thailand. No, not for that reason. Marcy, you got that one. Anyways, we cut to Thailand, and the underground fight is happening, where Eric gets topped off by Batista, who does the obligatory big muscle man titty pop, and I was like, ooh, maybe I might like this movie. Spoiler alert, I fucking didn't.
But that scene was a, you know, that part was a highlight.
Always love a good peck pop. Anyways, cops come to break up the illegal fight, and Eric is caught in, what is this, a collar elbow tie up, or is this just a triangle choke? I don't know. I'm not an MMA person.
I'm pretty sure he was just straight up just choking him out like a normal fucking, like, there was nothing special about this choke out at all.
Yeah. And then Kirk gets there midway through the fight, and as soon as he's all locked up, he shouts, no! And then that's when Batista snaps his neck.
Oh, Jesus. It's like, it's really bad when I had, like, more of an emotional resonance in the first Mortal Kombat when you see Liu Kang's brother die, as when I see this guy get his neck snapped. It's almost like, it's worse than when Johnny Cage dies in Annihilation, too. I'm just like, why is this happening right now?
Hey, we don't talk about that around here.
Listen, this is what kind of illicit feelings this movie's bringing up, okay?
Well, this movie's about to be added to that list, by the way.
Yep. Yes, very true.
Anyways, we get to the morgue, and Kurt is sad, angry about his dead brother. And then we get a little bit more conversation with Lady Cop feeling sad for Kurt. Lady Cop with her blouse with an obscene amount of buttons.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that noticed that.
And then we get Turf.
I did not notice that.
There are at least 15 buttons on there, all underneath where her boobs are at.
15. I did not notice that. There's
at least.
I noticed the boobs, not the buttons. See, I'm a guy. I mean, I don't know.
Anyways, we get Turf jump scare number 2. And essentially, I don't even know what the point about this is. Oh, it's for Kurt to get mad at her, threaten to choke her, and the cops come and pull him off. And gives him a one-way ticket out of town and say, hey, they take him to the airport. Hey, don't come.
He gets a quick visit to his brother's trainer because they're like, oh, he has money he's going to give you.
Yeah.
And just not a people person. He's like, it was such a weird line of dialogue. He's like, I was supposed to give this to you in case your brother died. And he's like, which it did. It just, like, cuts away.
There was a, I know what you're talking about. There was a huge pause. Like, he was trying to, like, because it was supposed to have some kind of impact when he said it. But it just fell flat. Because Jean-Claude Van Damme, this entire movie, is sleepwalking. He is in this for the easy paycheck, and that is it. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. Because even his fight scenes, I'm like, I know you're, like, up there in age, dude, but you can do better than this.
Is he, like, even coked up at this point?
Oh, absolutely not. He's just old.
He's just old, yeah. Do you think if he did cocaine, it would have made it better?
It would have been amazing. The first kickboxer was amazing because he was on cocaine, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a shame.
So, also, this reminds me that this is where I got super mad at the movie. Because it does the fake out of, all right, let's go to your trainer. Your brother's trainer here, you know. Renowned trainer here in Thailand, trained some of the best, and then he goes up and there is this native Thai person doing Tai Chi, I presume Tai Chi, and then the camera pans over to Jean-Claude Van Damme doing something on the roof behind, and he's like, oh yeah, I'm the master. Hey audience, don't you feel bad for having racial bias?
It's me, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
The random Belgian in the middle of fucking Thailand.
So yeah, he has a line, and we cut back, and that's when they cut back, is after, like, they kick him out of the airport.
And like,
you get the shot of him going, he goes to the terminal, and then he starts walking. You see a plane go off in the distance, but immediate cut to him walking back from the boarding platform to know that he's a bad boy. He didn't get on that plane. Fucking stupid. I hate this. Anyways, this is when we cut back. We see him drive over.
Did I miss anything? I don't think so.
If we did, it doesn't matter.
At this point, it really matter. Pretty much kind of it goes back into the original timeline of the story. I'm pretty sure.
I think at this point we're gonna jump to some parts because like this nothing happens. This is going
too long. I'm just getting too angry.
Yeah, no.
Thankfully, we get to skip half the movie because it's a training montage.
Yes, it is absolutely a training montage. Like I said, after this, it kind of just goes back into the original storyline where. After he gets caught by Master Poe trying to kill him, they get
busted by the cops.
Yeah, he gets busted by the cops because Master Poe is apparently a cop caller, so fuck this guy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he owns the police. But also, the way that we cut back from the flashback, we see him go up to we go back to the beginning of the movie after the airport scene. See that's where it picks up. The money that he was so freely going to give away is the just sort of the blood money that his brother didn't get to cash in. That's all that was. Anyways, we cut to, we have our Michael Cole commentator giving his film analysis of The Godfather. Saying, that, you ain't got what it takes.
That infuriated me more than anything in this movie. I'm just like, how dare you, bro? Like, you cannot keep using good movies. I can't. I'm just, continue, Jess. I'm sorry. I can't.
No, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
And then we do get like, so, all right, once he gets hauled off, Lady Cop comes back and is like, yeah, you're coming with me, more or less. And as they're like returning, like as they're making their way wherever, they get like trapped in and the fight scene breaks out. And the only cool thing is he basically does like a suplex that the guy like flips through. Also, I feel like this is the kickboxer that has the most flips in it. I feel like that's a safe assumption to make. They do so many flips in this movie.
Yeah.
But they're not good, and I don't like go like, cool, a flip. No, this movie, there's a lot of cool things that happen in this movie that should be cool or could be over the top and fun, and it just kind of drains the life out of it. Like, if they hammed it up and they weren't taking this movie so seriously as I think you mentioned, Marcy, when we were talking before, that this movie takes itself super fucking seriously. Like, it's, like, doing some real shit right now. Like, if they just goofed it up a little bit like the first movie, like, elephants blocking traffic with random parkour Muay Thai ninjas coming at these guys could have been fun and goofy. Yeah. But they took it super serious.
And it doesn't help that the main love interest in this one is the white lady cop. And is somehow surprised by Thailand traffic.
I love how I'm just like, okay, look, the one white lady transplant cop that's there, that is who the love interest is. At least in the first movie, I know we're comparing it to the first movie, but I'm sorry, it's like night and day, especially when they're trying to reboot this. Where in the first movie, it's some indigenous woman, and she's not like a supermodel or anything either. She looks very pretty, just, you know, naturally and just slowly. I mean, granted, it's a little ham-fisted, but Jean-Claude Van Damme and her slowly kind of start developing a relationship. Here, it's this random white lady in the middle of Thailand, and they just get together because.
Well, you see, most of their relationship is in the training montages. They're also relationship montages. Surprise!
But it's not even a real montage. They just talk a little bit, and then out of nowhere, she's like, I'm going to bang you.
I know. That's what I'm saying. They just like throw scenes in during the montage where this like that happens with them. And we're talking about this because this is basically where we're at, because after this, she's like, after they get through their fight, and we at least get the suplex, the flip, she takes him to the master, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, they go back to Jean-Claude's compound. Where, you know, enemies to lovers storyline. I don't like you, but you've got to stay here and lay low. Fine. And then they have a sad, they have a angry, charged fight in the rain that happens, which, you know, at least I, now, I don't have the best sense of the climate of Thailand, but given that it at least appears to be a more rainforested area, I can excuse that as something that the original one missed. Yeah. However, it doesn't give you an excuse to do in the rain slow motion flip bumps just because. That's all this scene is, an excuse for Kirk to do slow motion front flip bumps. Yep. That's it. And Jean-Claude to be like, you know what? I'll train you.
It has all these moments where it's supposed to be like these epic hitting moments, but none of them are earned because it just falls flat every time. Like that should be, like it's the moment where the master finally concedes and goes, okay, I'll train you. And I'm just like, but why? Because not for nothing, too. A lot of these fights that this guy goes through, Kurt or whatever the fuck his name is, he loses most of them. He's getting his ass kicked most of this movie.
He's not good. He's really bad.
And, like, at least in the first movie, you can kind of see, like, the progression of getting from, like, okay to a master or, like, getting as good as he gets. This one, he's just getting his ass kicked the whole fucking time.
Until he doesn't.
Until he doesn't, randomly. No reason, but yes.
Well, now we can skip a lot of the movie because it's all just training montages. Yep. Oh, you got some. Just
there's
actually
one thing. Okay. There's one thing that we need to get to before the training montages. Spoiler alert, it's just montages of training and a couple of references to the first one and inversions. Yes. Dumb, stupid. Anyways, before that, there's actually something that was actually, I kind of liked a little bit. If I was attracted to someone, if I was attracted to Kurt, or if Kurt was a sexier person, wakes up, he's woken up by getting his hands and legs tied to the bedposts, and
I know what you're talking about.
Jean-Claude Van Damme says, "We've got to waken up those nerves." And early morning S&M session.
Seriously, this suddenly became a BDSM movie. I'm like, if it stayed like this would have been so much better.
Okay, I'm so glad y'all said this because I'm like, well, I was watching this, like, this got weirdly sexual really fast. Like, is anyone else picking up on this? Oh man, that's awesome.
Oh, we picked up on it, trust us.
Yeah, I'm just like, I hope I'm not the only one that's thinking, like, this got weirdly sexual. Because he's also, I don't know, it's just the facial expressions he makes too and stuff. I'm just like, all right, you don't sound like you're not enjoying this.
Yeah, so then it's just a sequence of montages that are repeated ad nauseum. Does a couple of the, between recreating trainings from the first movie of kicking the palm trees, but they're baby palm trees, so he's more of a bitch in this one. But he has to do it to multiple baby trees, so that's at least different. He has to do the underwater thing, but he's on a bicycle and being suspended down into the water and pulled back up. Being waterboarded,
so cheap.
Basically.
So cheap.
Yes. And they do one single split joke. And they throw it away like it's nothing.
Yep.
So in the first movie, they made a whole thing about Jean-Claude Van Damme getting into the splits. We all know that we are here for maybe two things with a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. Splits. And figuring out how he's going to get splits in there. That's it. In this movie, we get no Jean-Claude Van Damme splits. And you would think, hey, in the training montage, we're going to limber up this dude. Goes in, automatically does the sort of lily pad kind of setup into the splits. Guy does it perfectly. Jean-Claude Van Damme comes in. We'll move on. That's almost literally what he says. On to the next thing. Enough with the splits.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then has him go and focus on striking. Which is not the point of the first movie. The first movie, the point was Jean-Claude Van Damme did not know how to do defense. In this movie, it's, you know what? Fuck that. This is MMA now. It's all about striking. That's what you need to work on. You're striking. Hit it.
And that's when they start bringing in that whole the coconut shit. where they start throwing the coconuts at him. And it's like, I know we're going to get to it, but there's a point where, like, there's like John Clavander keeps throwing these coconuts at him, like tying him to posts and stuff for him to break. And apparently there's a point to it. And he kind of insinuates it like a little bit later at the end of the training. But I'm just like, really, dude? Like, all, like, the point of the entire thing, I mean, once we get to him, it just gets so infuriating because I'm like, I picked up on this already. Most people can pick up on this when it comes to just fighting in general. But I don't know. I don't want to get ahead of myself. So yeah, continue. Thank you, Jess.
One of the coconuts in the first movie was about him doing the tense up and being able to absorb the impact. Because I don't know if you're aware, but Dave Bautista is fucking big. He's going to hit hard. So in the original movie, Tong Po is also big, very big everywhere. Anyways, if you want to withstand the pounding of Dave Bautista, you've got to have some strong abs, strong core. That's where the coconuts were used from the first movie.
Yes.
Where he goes up. Eventually, our Master Miyagi figure, I'm sorry, I forget the character's name, goes up into the middle of the tree, drops a coconut, he absorbs the impact. The gag is he pulls out a second one that you weren't expecting, and then that one hits a little bit harder. That's cute. That's fun. This one is just kids check.
There's a point where also, like, in the beginning, where Van Damme starts fighting again, and it's literally just a kick-for-kick match, where he's just getting body kicked right across the fucking abdomen for at least 5 minutes straight while it's back and forth until the other guy finally concedes because he got tired. But and it just adds to just, like, hey, look, this is what he trained for with the coconuts. In this one, it's like, I get coconuts, all right, they're hard and they hurt. That's about it. There's no deeper meaning to it. But until he reveals what it is, and I'm just like, I could... All right, yes, continue, sorry.
It's there. It feels like it's there to be there.
It's there to be there. Except it's actually there for one moment, and we'll get there. And yeah. I don't know how I feel about it. Anyways, George St. Pierre comes back. I thought we were done with you, but apparently not.
He just shows up!
Hey.
He needs money.
He's like, hey, I got kicked out. They told me to stop drinking. Can I train with you? And then Jean-Claude Van Damme sniffs him out immediately. He's like, no. I know you're here for Tung Po. I'll beat you up. You know what? You can be a double agent for me. You just have to do my laundry, stop drinking, and train with Kurt. That's it. And so that happens.
And he just does it, too. Like, there's no other, like he just does it.
He could just leave.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, okay, I guess this is what's happening now. I'm like, there's no real incentive or anything. It's just, he's just like, all right, I guess you beat me in this one fight, so I guess I have to listen to you forever now.
Then we have a late night one-on-one with Kurt and Jean-Claude Van Damme. There's a little bit of a monologue, and it's like, hey, if you're going to go fight Tong Po, and you are afraid of dying, guess what? You're already dead, because you can't have that fear of death if you want to beat him. So here I have a coconut with braids on it. Arts and crafts was Jean-Claude Van Damme. You've got to focus on this. This is what your focus is. Break open this coconut.
And that's what kills me, because that's what the whole thing with the coconut was. I'm just like, I mean, not only just the whole, hey, focus that as like it's Tong Po, but also go for the head. That's the entire fucking lesson. Like, he was training him to fucking basically crack the dude's skull, because every other part of his body could not be taken out. And I'm just like, how is that not the first thing that any fighter thinks of, is just go for the fucking head? It took him this long to figure out that? Like, oh, geez.
Yeah, this is just Jean-Claude Van Damme doing his CM Punk thoughts on Hangman Page, that empty-headed dumb fuck. Tong Po's an empty-headed dumb fuck. Go for that. Anyways, what do we do next? What is next? I don't...
They go to the bar. Let's just skip to they go to the bar, because it doesn't matter. They go to the bar.
Is that when they go to the bar? I don't think so.
No, that was before.
No, I think there's...
There's more?
They go to the bar. No. No, this is when Kurt has his Invades the Foot Clan hideout sequence, where he goes in, just starts beating up dudes, goes calling out Dave Bautista, and then he has a couple of fights with dudes.
Oh, that's right.
That he kind of wins. I don't want to do any more of this part. And then Batista accepts the challenge. Anyways, we see that there is... The cops are doing surveillance. Hey, he's accepted the fight. We can bust the... We'll be able to bust the illegal fighting ring this time. We've got the jump on it. We've got an inside man. And then we get turf jump scare number 3. I don't know why. Oh, yeah. There's a villain monologue about there being a setup. While there's flashbacks and it happening concurrently. Spoiler alert. It's a flash. It's a setup. Goes to a fake location. And it fails because they only send one dude.
It's so fucking infantile. So infantile the way they do this entire fucking sequence. Where I'm just like... In the other movie, there's consequences by the end because they start really ramping up what's happening to Jean-Claude Van Damme and the people around him. In this one, they try to do the same thing with this cop lady where I'm just like, oh, she's going to get injured. She's going to get taken out. Or worse, what happens to the girl in the other movie. And it's something's going to happen and nothing happens. In fact, she's just like, oh, look, someone tried taking me out. I'm scared now. Let me just go tell the guy that I'm suddenly infatuated with. Do not fight this guy. That's all that happens. Just to keep pushing this whole thing. And just... Oh, God. And then and their relationship infuriates me, too, by the way. It's just... It doesn't make any sense. It was never earned. None of that stuff. And I love how she's one of those types that just starts, like, don't do it. And she starts getting mad at him. And then just, like... And, like, I'm so mad at you that I'm going to bang you. And then they have, like, one of two sex scenes that are here.
Yeah. So, actually, I forgot to mention in the first training montage, intercut between the montage is Kurt and Lady Cop together, and she's like, ooh, what are all these from? And he's like, from training. He's like, well, what kind of training are you doing? And this would have been so much more interesting if, you know, she was an S&M freak and was like, you know what? That's kind of hot. And that would explain... Because I think she's also there for the wake-up session. I think she was in there. I don't know. There was somebody else in there.
Oh, no. Like,
it would have been so much more... It would have been so much more interesting if, you know, she was just like an S&M freak and was like, you know what? That's kind of hot. Seeing you all beat up and bloody. That would have made it much more interesting. And then once the reality of, you know, he's going to fucking die, that might make some of the steps of her... And then this is the next point, goes in and arrests Jean-Claude Van Damme and Kurt so that he is unable to attend the fight because the stakes are much realer at that point now that the fight has been accepted. But they go to jail, so obviously you have to have a jail escape. And bullshit B-line, B-storyline, B-plot about her one-woman investigation on Thailand police corruption, because, you know, you have to have a white lady to lead that one up.
Of course.
You've got all of the native Thai police are going to be corrupt.
All of them.
Anyways, Kurt does the ceiling split thing to hide that he left.
This is where I got mad. I'm like, they're just going to let them out anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be back. Keep talking.
Yep, no, that's totally fair, because you're not going to miss anything.
Nope.
Actually, I lied. There's one thing that you'll miss, but I will slow walk our way towards it. So we get our laissez-faire jailbreak. Like, this is the most laissez-faire jailbreak I have ever seen. They're just, you know, just casually walking out.
They're so casual about it.
Like, if it would be one thing if this was a different movie, and let's just say this is Tango and Cash. If this was... That's a movie that I think we would have a time with reviewing. Tango and Cash. There's no fucking reason for us to do it, I don't think. But Tango and Cash is much more fun. They've got jailbreak. They've got a jailbreak scene. You know, it's got stakes, and you've got the two of them whipping and bantering back and forth with each other. You can have a more laissez-faire kind of, you know, pseudo-tango of just, you know, one dude ducks out of the way while the other dude fights all the guys. You could do that and have quips in there, but Kurt and Jean-Claude Van Damme don't have that.
No.
So all you do is have Jean-Claude Van Damme just kind of slipping out of the way And then Kurt does like one punch or one kick, one Irish whip, and it just takes the dudes out.
It's just like, I don't know, it sucks. And then like you said at the end, it's just like casually like leaving. Like I get there like trying to play it off as cool, but it just comes off as like the most nothing thing ever.
Yeah. And then we've got convenient police boxcar truck parked conveniently, and they just kind of walk off the balcony. And this is where we get to these, I don't know if it is a specifically a Drunken Master reference, or but it's a Jackie Chan style gag where you've got the dudes carrying the plate glass windows, the plate glass in the street.
I think that's just a generic kind of like action trope that they just have in general, but I can see the Drunken Master reference completely with that too. But
just, or at least like a Jackie Chan style comedy choreography where you're trying to avoid hitting the glass. But the gag just, is the glass going to break? When is the glass going to break? And it's a whole nothing burger.
No, it just it's like, oh, it happened. Great.
They made him do the split again, I guess.
Yeah.
But there's no fanfare about it. Just it's a thing that happens.
All right. Now we're at least now at the final fight. I don't think.
Oh, yes.
No, there's still the bar.
Actually, I lied. At some. Is there?
No, I think it just goes into that after that.
All right. We skipped the bar. And honestly, it's good because it's fucking dumb. The point of the bar in the original one is the trainer gets Jean-Claude Van Damme loaded up, you know, has him go out, doesn't tell him why, has him get loaded up, puts on a song, and he's like, you know what? Test your balance. Go dance. And go start dancing with girls. It's a fun time. You know, he's got the most outrageous tank top that I want. That is just a racer back, and it's just got like clips onto like a breastplate. That's essentially what that tank top is. If you watch to the end of the movie, you'll actually see it in a scene that infuriated me the most. And that's why I'm so heated about this movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking
about.
We'll
get there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
But so they go to the bar, and Jean-Claude Van Damme, he's like, hey, I'll throw out the money for Kurt to fight the bar champion, and he just gets his ass handed to him. That's what happened in the original movie. All these dudes just start fighting him, and then that's how he gets, you know, having him be loaded and just scrapping with the undercard of people. That's how he gets into fights inside the evil criminal empire's underground ring. That's how he gets in.
Yeah, it was kind of like a showcase, because the guy that owns Tong Po in the original movie was there and saw everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about that was that scene was just so fun. It was goofy, and not for nothing, it was very Jackie Chan-ish, that scene in the original movie. And this one, it wasn't even it was a nothing throwaway thing, and they were supposed to elicit that kind of same vibe, but they just didn't, because all it was just, hey, instead of getting drunk at the bar, hey, just come to this bar where we have illegal fights, and you're going to fight the bar champion.
If I'm remembering correctly, I think this was before Arts and Crafts, Dave Bautista, Coconut Head. And it was before. Like, hey, you got your ass handed to you. You gotta work on you gotta do those strikes. I think that's all that was. Anyways, we're at the final fight now.
Yes, yeah, so let's fucking kill this pig.
Wait, no, you're getting tired of this. You're getting past the part that made me. I got upset because we want to talk about this whole relationship thing that was forced. The penultimate part of this is they finally have their love scene, and I'm all about, you know, let's throw a sex scene in the movie. I was so apathetic to them. I was actually angry that this movie had a sex scene in it, that had the gall to try to just throw that in there.
Because there's no development. There's no lead up to it. They're just like, hey, you're the male lead. You're the female lead. All right, I guess we're supposed to bone now or get together. Okay. And it just happens. In the first one, there was at least some build up to it. This one, it just happens.
Movie's a crime against humanity made me hate the sex scene.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Marcy's a horny woman.
I'm sex positive.
All right, we're at the final sex scene. Turf jump scare number 4 basically sets up that she owns the fighting ring. She runs all the betting, sets the parameters. Hey, no bets during the time of the fights. They all have to be before the rounds. You know, how many? And then we get kicked off with Michael Cole, commentator, who does. If you have seen any Roman Reigns pay-per-view match, everything that Michael Cole says in the lead up, whenever Roman Reigns is coming down to the ring, all of that talking in the backstory of whatever's been happening over the last 3 or 4 weeks, that's what this dude does, and he just tells you the entire plot of the movie.
Do you think this is where Michael Cole got it from?
No, he's been doing it a lot longer.
Very possible, though.
Dave Bautista is responsible for more than half of the deaths in this ring in the last 2 years. 50 people die in the ring every year. Kurt's brother Eric was the last person killed here. Was Kurt's brother Eric by Tong Po's hands, and now they're gonna fight. And yeah, and so right before the fight kicks off, Dave Bautista goes up to, you know, they do their face to face square up. They don't actually do the UFC square up, but they might as well, because that's what happened. And Dave Bautista says, what does he say? He says, ready to die, sweetheart, but he says sweetheart, and presumably Ty. That was cute. Dave Bautista, can you do that to me?
Please. I'll get me second turn. I'll give you first dibs. I just also want, like, I want it.
Oh my god, don't reward this man for doing this movie.
We're rewarding him for surviving this movie and thriving after it.
Oh god, I mean, so what? Yeah. He became Drax after this. He still did this.
I hear he's pretty good in the Dune movies.
Yeah, he does do a very good...
He's good in Dune.
He plays a good Harkonnen.
He was very good as the scientist in Blade Runner 2049. He was good in that. It was a bit part, but he was good in it.
All right, so, okay, pretty much a lot of stuff that he does after this is just actually pretty goddamn good, all right? If you've never seen Bushwick is a fucking phenomenal movie that he started in, and it's very dramatic for him, too. I thought he did a good job. I was very upset when he did Army of the Dead, because Army of the Dead is a garbage movie that no one should ever see, and he was acting his ass off in it. And I'm like, god damn it, why can't you be in a better movie?
Fuck Zack Snyder. Anyways, this entire fight scene is... This entire fight scene might as well just be a Zack Snyder picture, because it's just plot contrivance after trope after trope, and you're just going through the motions. So this first round of the fight is him basically being like, you know, perfunctory. Kurt is doing all the stuff, but he doesn't have that emotion behind the strikes, so they're not working. And Bautista beats him up a little bit.
Oh, he kicks the shit out of him.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, that round's over. Turf jump scare number, whatever. We get an update on how the betting odds are going. 3 million or something for Dave Bautista. A couple people are betting on Kurt for the odds. Anyways, this is the least excited that I've been for Taipei ever. I just wanted it to fucking end. Because, Marcy, first movie, the conclusion was a Taipei boxing match.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't go as far as what it should, but...
See, my thought was the Rottens in ECW. It's been so long since I've seen the first. I was a baby when I saw the first kickboxer. Some say I didn't even exist then.
At least when they did like the thing in the original one, it's like they explain why they're doing it. They do a whole scene where it just looks badass that they're just starting to grind glass into their gloves. And then in this one, it's like, let's just do this just to do this. And also they don't explain how the glass sticks to the gloves. It actually looks like Bautista actually just has, like, white like scotch tape wrapped around his fist and he just dipped it in the glass.
They might as well just be wearing Thanos gloves with the way that the glass looks on there. They are Michael's arts and crafts onto there.
They're basically aquarium rocks.
I was wondering, why is the glass so colorful?
They definitely have like a special at Michael's.
Yeah, because in the first one, it's just a collection of just random beer bottles. And then you dip the back of the gloves in the hot wax. And then you grind the back of your gloves into it.
Yeah,
and it was that's a how cool you get the glass scene on there. That's how it stays.
Yep, and yeah, it makes sense. Here, it just doesn't. I don't know how they stick.
Yeah, and it's a thumb. It's stupid, but yeah, the one thing that annoyed me in the choreography for this one is in the first round, Dave Bautista spends most of his time with his hands like this, and I'm sure that's more of an MMA thing with like catch and capture thing.
That's how they actually do Muay Thai fights, but. It was more.
Okay.
They made it make more sense in the first movie because that's how they were. That's how actual Tong Po was actually fighting. Like that, because you know, first note before I saw the first one again was like, "Oh, dude, this guy's fighting like Saget from fucking Street Fighter." And I'm like, oh, because and not for nothing too. But another thing this movie's trying to invoke is I don't know if you guys ever seen like Tony Jaa movies like The Protector or Ong Bak and stuff like that. Those are great Muay Thai like fighting movies, like great like Kung Fu style, but Muay Thai fighting movies. And they do fight like that, like actual Muay Thai fighters. But the thing is, with here, it's so ham-fisted and not for nothing. Once again, this is more of an MMA fight than a Muay Thai fight, like at all. Because like only thing that he really has is the stance. Everything else is not really Muay Thai. It's just deflecting MMA shit.
My takeaway from this is in that new Street Fighter movie, Batista could totally play Sagat.
That would have been cool. Instead of this movie, I would have taken a fucking other Street Fighter movie where he played Sagat.
Yeah. So the story of the second round is Kurt still doesn't quite have it there yet, but he does get a stray shot at the ribs and a couple of stray shots to the face. So instead of having the emotion behind it without it, you know, he gets a little bit of color. But he also gets beaten up on and he gets kind of taken down to the ground and he's got his defenses up and he's just taking them on the hands and arms with Dave Bautista wailing on him. The round ends and, you know, he went to that place because we get flashbacks to the entire fucking movie.
They play you the movie while watching the movie.
It's basically another training montage if you think about it.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. At some point there's turf jump scare number whatever again. I'm just gonna speed through the rest because it's getting too late. Lady Cap comes in, busser. Hey, you're under arrest. And the most obvious thing in the world is Turf McGurf is like, you know what, I own the police. And to the surprise of absolutely no one, she gets taken away out of the movie, thank goodness, because I don't want to see her again. Our WWE commentator says, hey, it's come all down to this. Bring out the double swords for a final round. Death is imminent. That's
so lame. So lame.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do some of the lamest sort of sword choreography that I did better in high school for an elective drama class. I did it. True story. I recreated the Obi-Wan Kenobi, Anakin Skywalker, Revenge of the Sith sort duel.
That's pretty badass.
For that elective. Man. It was great. I did pretty good. It was fun.
That's pretty badass.
Anyways.
That sounds way more entertaining than what we saw here.
Yeah. You weren't satisfied with the same kind of, like, taps and loose parries?
Here's one of the things about this movie that really pissed me off. It's like, in the original Kickboxer movie, you could actually feel the punches. You could say, hey, this actually kind of looks like a fight. In this one, every fight, especially with the weapons, it all looks choreographed. It all looks fake. Like, none of this looks genuine, like even like the Never Back Down sequel movies and shit, like they look like they hurt. This, it's literally look like it's dancing. It's just bros dancing with each other.
Nothing has any weight to it in the fights.
Exactly. It's very, the swords are the most egregious part because it's literally like just Jess said, it's just tap, tap, tap. Like, let's just hit the swords and not each other.
Let's just hit the swords.
Yeah.
It's so like, there's like no effort.
Yeah, this is not this kind of sword fight in Thailand I want to see. Anyways, so.
Oh my God.
Kurt, eventually they both get their swords disarmed, and Kurt does a kind of throwing of the sword. It slices Dave Bautista across the cheek, and it gets stuck, implanted in the chain link fence. It's going to be important later. And at some point, this is when George St. Pierre comes back, and I was like, why are you in this movie again? And then I got mad because if George St. Pierre is here and all these MMA guys are here, why do the fights all suck? And then Kurt has his babyface fire-up sequence that he finishes with a German suplex. And I was like, where the fuck was this the entire fucking movie?
He doesn't deserve to do it, honestly.
No, he doesn't. Nope. No, he doesn't.
I should be more hyped that there's a fucking German suplex in this movie. I'm just angry about it. Maybe I wasn't completely apathetic about this movie after all.
I love how you're just like, they fucked up the sex scene and the German suplex. Fuck this movie.
Anyways, he follows it up with a spinning heel kick and a drop kick. What else does he do?
And he breaks the chokehold. And that's about it, really, because I think it's a very uninspiring fight.
Yeah, at some point, he kind of like, Batista kind of is like, kind of down, but like, not really. And he celebrates it like a babyface that had the ref call the fight. And then Batista comes back, you know, after the invisible bell was rung, and goes to choke him out, and they're both pressed up on either side of the sword that was impaled in the chain link fence. And we get a cut back to George St. Pierre at some point. Well, at some point they start doing the chant of White Warrior. I wish I could remember what it was in Thai, which was important in the first movie because that's how he started. Jean-Claude Van Damme started getting the crowd on his side. The people gave him the moniker, as opposed to George St. Pierre just kind of drunkenly stumbling in and just shouting White Warrior, which is a whole different meaning in 2016.
As opposed to another white guy coming out drunkenly in the middle of this to keep perpetuating the story.
White Warrior!
Fighting. Their style of fighting.
Which, it's so ham-fisted!
And also, I'm sorry, but Dave Bautista does not look Thai, like, to me. I don't know if that's what they were trying to do, but I'm just like, you literally just have all the white guys just doing everything important in this movie.
To be fair, he is from the Philippines, so it's not quite, like, having a white guy do it.
Okay, okay.
Anyways, we cut back. The only reason we cut back to George St. Pierre is just so that we could remember the time in training when George St. Pierre told him how to reverse the chokehold, because that's when Kurt reverses the chokehold and brings Dave Bautista's neck down onto the sword, cutting his throat, taking the championship amulet. I'm the champion now.
Thankfully, not much happens after this. Like, literally, they leave and then it ends.
Yeah, romantic riverboat. They're all in white. That's how you remember that they're the good people, even though he went to that place. Anyways, right at the end, we get a post credit scene where it is like a comedy. And normally, I'm one for a comedic blooper reel of sorts, but what they do is a split screen of this Kurt escaping the jail cell, walking out of the jail cell. Starts doing a little bit of dancing, and I said, no, they're not going to do it. And so they do a split screen of the original scene in the bar with Jean-Claude Van Damme dancing. It's the one that is always shown in all of the GIFs. So, Marcy, you've seen it.
Yeah.
Dude, I was
so mad.
So this movie, like, it just brought me to the point of, like, I'm getting really mad at you. I really hate you. Like, I really do not like you. And then, like, that last little thing was almost kind of like that last little like dig that it just puts in there, just a little last nail in the coffin, and I'm just like, you piece of shit. Why the fuck would you even do this now? You could have done this earlier at the bar or something. Where was this levity? Where was this goofiness where it should have been? And you do this now at the very end during the credits to elicit some kind of like nostalgic response. And I hate you for this. I
in the original movie, it was done to add like comedy and levity. This is literally just done for nostalgia at the end of the movie.
It's fucking egregious. Egregious. It's fucking disgusting. Like, I was so pissed off. Like, at this point, it's like, this is where I would be like, all right, direct. If I saw the director in the feet, I'd punch him in the face. Like, fuck you, dude. Like,
John
really?
Stockton, you're on notice.
I will deck you in the face. Like, why the fuck did you do this?
So, I guess we should get to our ratings, but I give this movie no riz. Rizless. That's my score.
I mean, yeah, I guess for me, for my ratings, usually this is a complete dumpster fire. This is fucking horrible. Do not, it's not worth a rental. Don't even, if just pass, just watch the original. And because the original is usually for free on most streaming sites.
It's also on Tubi. You know what would be better? You could just watch that third movie that has the unrelated guy with a gun. I'm sure it's better than this one.
This was soulless. It was like I said, it's a fucking dumpster fire, and I rarely ever give that rating to anything. It this made me angry. Like, it legit made me mad, especially when you see the source material that it's supposed to be coming from. Like, fuck this movie completely.
Yeah, this is a fucking net negative. C minus on my C minus C plus scale. Don't watch this. It's not even worth Tubi, because don't forget, Tubi is owned by the Murdoch family, and so the Murdoch family gets ad revenue from you watching Tubi. And I'm fucking mad at you, Tubi. You're taking away the my boobies from a lot of the 70s exploitation movies. They're cutting out all a lot of the nudity in there. Fuck you.
Oh, what the fuck?
I hate you, Robert Murdoch. Go suck a dick and die. No, you don't get to suck dick. That is too much fun. Fucking die, Rupert Murdoch.
Ed Blocker gang, stand up.
No, I guess I don't need Tubi to try and sponsor my other podcast now.
Time to move on to Pluto TV safe.
I mean, Pluto TV does have some stuff. I forgot what I was trying to watch on Pluto TV that they had the other day. I think it was something stupid, like basketball or something.
I don't know if they still have it, but they had the TNA channel, and that shit was rocked. Because it's just always old TNA pay-per-views.
Oh, that's yeah. Cool.
Anyways, this movie was broke us. We need to get out of here. Everyone plug your shit.
All right. I guess I'll go first. You can find me on Instagram, Goondup Nerds. That's one word. And you can also find me on Letterboxd, Goondup Nerds, one word also, where I actually do the written out reviews that I do for movies that I do on Goondup Nerds and here, and other stuff that I don't really get to post. So that's it for me.
I'm going to cleanse what my Letterboxd is. I don't do anything much on there. I just post what I'm watching. But my Twitter is JessBonesJB. There's not much going on there. My Letterboxd is JB from the States. I just post what I've watched recently. I did a Dyke double feature over the past week of Driveaway Dolls and Love Lies Bleeding. That was great. I loved it so much. They were both great and amazing, and already going to be in my top 5 of the year immediately. So that's it for me.
And you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, and SoundCloud at eGirlFanboyBoy spelled B-O-I. Sapphic Knight setlist should be dropping soon. I swear I'm still not salty. I'm really salty about that. But it's fine. We're going to move past it. You're on my shit list, Serato. Anyways, April 26th at 880 Wrestling in New Kensington, Pennsylvania, I will be DJing. I got a fun set planned. I'm really excited. Plus, there's going to be some dope-ass wrestling. I hear a sick new title might be debuting. Something along the lines.
Ooh.
I mean, we've talked about it already.
We love belts.
We do love belts. No, I can't say that.
I can't give away anything. Anyways, I'm gonna edit that out. Fuck. Anyways.
Who's gonna get the strap? Find out on April 26th.
On the next episode of
Fifth Avenue, New Kensington.
Will anyone get force femmed? I don't know. I should edit that out too. I really should.
Why?
I'm gonna get in trouble.
Are you though?
This is still linked. People hear things, you know?
Hey, man, we turned down the cum talk a lot this episode, okay? So we should be at least acknowledged for that.
Isn't acknowledging the cum talk too much cum talk? Or is this just the right level of cum talk? No.
We're at least 15% cum talk now with just the fact that we're talking about the cum talk right now. So we're at a good level right now. So I think we should at least, you know, get some accolades for that.
I would say try to convince Butters to release this on Tuesday, but I don't think he wants to have this released on Tuesday with the main show on Wednesday, because I really just want it to be a Come Tuesday.
And now we're at 20%. All right.
I want this to be the Come Tuesday show.
And on that note, shout out to Come! Support independent wrestling. Later!
Later.
Pop kisses.
It's the fifth time this year that I've gotten sick. Everybody's coming after me.